On today's Believer's Voice of Victory, the South African man shares how he received the truth and was delivered from generational poverty. But first, Kenneth explains from Scripture how and when Jesus redeemed us from poverty so we could receive God's abundance and bless others.
Open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians, please. Second Corinthians, chapter 8. There is a powerful help me, Lord, how can I say that? A truth that is essentially buried under tradition, under religious ideas, and bringing the world's ideas about money and so forth, and just transferring it over into our own churches and so forth. But what I'm about to share with you right now is almost unheard of when it comes to teaching these things. Verse 1, chapter 8, 2 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, we do you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, the Amplified translation amplifies this point right here. Brethren, we do you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, arousing them to give. God's grace, say grace, arousing them to give. This is absolutely vital information. So I want you to tuck that away so you're still hearing that as we proceed here. Now, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Their poverty and the problem and the famine that was going on there was so deep, they had to beg them to receive the offering, to let them give. Doesn't say how much they were giving, but you have to remember the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth about these people. Amen. And he goes on to say, God and what you do and what you give is not based on what you don't have. Amen. I mean, the scripture actually says it. It isn't based, and God's not looking and expecting anything out of you that you don't have. It's based on what you do have. And it may not be much. It may not be anything left but a smile, but go give it to somebody. And you can always come to God and say, Father, I need seed to sow. Yes. And he told these people, he is the one who ministers seed to the sower. And you can't be so broke that God won't give you something. Amen. Hallelujah. Now then, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They wanted in on this. They wanted to minister to these people. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Amen. Therefore, as you abound in everything in faith, and as you abound in everything in utterance, as you abound in everything in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, or you could put it this way, in your love for the ministry. Amen. Abound in this grace also. So now each one of these is a grace. You abound in everything in faith, utterance, knowledge, all diligence, and in your love for us or for the ministry. There's five graces that they knew about. They were abounding in it. Amen. Now, look at verse 9. For you know the grace. Verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything in faith, utterance, knowledge, and all diligence in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. You're doing real well in this five. So, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So now then the question is, when did Jesus become poor? Well, Brother Copeland, it must have been when he was born of Mary, because, you know, he was poor and he had no place to lay his head and so forth and so on. Wrong. He was not born in a manger because his daddy couldn't afford a hotel. The scripture said he was born in a manger because there were no rooms at the hotel. So obviously his dad, who was a businessman, had money enough. Don't you understand the reason they were in Bethlehem was to pay taxes? Right. Poor folks weren't there. Right. Hello? The poor people were still at home. Right. Amen. Oh, yeah. Well, now, what's the answer then to the question? For your sake, he became poor. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, the curse, what's called the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28, chapter 15 through the rest of the chapter, is threefold. Number one, spiritual death. Anytime the Bible talks about death, like people dead in their sins, it's not talking about the physical body dying, it's talking about the spirit. When it talks about the day you eat of this, you shall surely die. Well, he did, but it wasn't talking about his body.
Right.
Spiritual death is to be separated from God, who is our life. And a person then is born again, you are connected to God and you are alive in Him. A new creature. Hallelujah. Say it, I'm a new creature.
I'm a new creature.
I'm not dead anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, spiritual death. Number two, sickness.
Yes.
Number three, poverty.
Yes.
And associated with poverty in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, where the curse is listed, is debt. So, spiritual death, sickness, poverty, and associated with that is debt. Now, when Jesus was made a curse for us, He was broken with our sin. Oh, He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness. That's when He became poor with the curse of poverty.
Amen.
Well, see, we were poor with the curse of poverty.
Yes.
You could have a lot of money and be a poor man. Oh, yeah. Amen. So there's a lot of people that got money that they're not prosperous in their soul. He may have a, you know, the guy may have $150 million in the bank, and he'll still kill you over 100 bucks. He's still a poor man in his mind, which makes him meaner where his money's concerned. That spirit of poverty is a killer. And a person that is bound up in a spirit of poverty and he's got a lot of money, he's dangerous. So now, he became poor with our curse of poverty. He became sick with our sins and sickness and fear. Hallelujah. Because the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. That's when He bore your fear. Glory to God. Can you see it?
Yes.
He became poor with our poverty. Now, let me stir you up here a little bit. Listen. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, that's talking about before He came to the earth and while He was on the earth, because He didn't have to have money to meet the needs of Himself or His people. He proved that over and over and over again, whether there was anything to eat, whether, hey, just use your faith and fix it.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That actually is true prosperity. True, yes. to prosper means to excel at something desirable. So true prosperity is to be able to meet every need in life. Whether it be spirit, soul, body, financially, or socially, with faith in God.
Hallelujah.
That's true prosperity. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, are you listening to me? Though He was rich, yet for your sake, He became as poor as you are, that you, through His poverty, might be as rich as he is. Now that's some shouting ground right there. See, that's the law of substitution and identification. He became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. He bore our sins. He took our sins that we might receive his righteousness. Did he commit any sin? No, no, no. Did we commit any righteousness? No. So he took our sins so we might receive his righteousness.
Glory.
Well, the same thing, the same substitution and identification goes over into the financial realm also. Glory to God. He took our poverty. He wasn't poor. Wasn't nothing poor about him. Wasn't no way he's ever going to be poor. Particularly not as a man. When he came as a man, come on, baby. There ain't no way to spend up what he had. You couldn't spend it up in 1,492 zillion years. However many that is. And that ain't enough, because that's not eternity. And you have to understand, I don't care how fast he had spent it, it just keep happening. You understand? Absolute, completely, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, look back in Romans chapter 12, and I'll share this thought with you, and then we'll go on. Because there's something I want to pick up what we just talked about, and I need this verse in order to do it. Third verse of the 12th chapter of Romans. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man, every person that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man, not every man in the whole world, but every born again man, every man among you. Because if you go over to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, all men don't have faith. He said, wicked and unreasonable men don't have faith. Now, God hath dealt to every person, every born again, the moment you got born again, in fact, that's what you got born again with, was the measure of faith. Yes. The measure of faith. All of us started out with the same measure.
That's right.
You didn't get a big chunk, now I got this little chunk. Right. Or the other way around.
Yes, sir.
But now what did you do with your measure? But now, here's what I want you to say. In fact, lift your hand. Lift both of them. It's good. Say this. I am a new creature.
I am a new creature.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And
I have been given the measure of faith. So I have a measure
of
the same faith that created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Now, wait, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. I have a measure of the same faith that Jesus used as he ministered the shores of Galilee. And have
a measure
of his wealth. He was made poor with my poverty. Say it. He was made poor with my poverty so that I could be made rich with his wealth. I have a measure of the same faith. I have a measure of heaven's wealth. And it's far greater. See any way to use. Hallelujah. Woo.
You know, when I first came across Kenneth Copeland Ministries, I was a young chap. And what happened after that is that I came across the magazine, BVOV magazine. The one section or part of the magazine that really got hold of me from that day till today, it's the testimony page, where people write in and tell their stories, what God has done in their lives, financial healing, restoration. That spoke to my heart when I read those stories, such that every single month, you know, I look forward, you know, with great expectation of receiving the magazine. And guess what? The first thing that I do when I open a BVOV magazine is that I go to the testimony page. That's where I start, because those stories, those testimonies, they build me up. They feed my faith, my spirit. I'm able to realize and see that, you know, because God says that he has no favorites, that if he can do for someone in Nigeria or in Angola, he can do it for me here in South Africa. Then I began to understand that growing up, you know, in a poverty infested family, you know, four generations of poverty, where, you know, poverty has been accepted as a way of life, where lack of progress, dropping out of school and things like that has been accepted as a way of life, I began to realize that, no, that's the work of the enemy. He's stolen from my great-great-great-grandfather, he's stolen from my grandfather, he's stolen from my father, and now he's trying to steal from me. Living in a township, Soweto, that's the biggest township in South Africa. With no connection, high school dropout, didn't know anybody, didn't know how I was going to come out of that cycle of poverty. That when I read those stories, I could see that, you know, it doesn't matter where am I, God knows my name and he can pull me out of that situation that I was in. So honestly speaking, from the bottom of my heart, that is what brought me out. Now, from that day, I believe that's when the restoration process in my life began. This restoration that I'm talking about, you know, it did not just come to me as an individual. But when I got born again and I began to be exposed to KCM teachings, you know, then, you know, you get to a place where when you speak, you know, what comes out is life. At times you're not even aware because your spirit is trained that way. And so it moved from our core family to now extended a family, both on my father's side of the family and my mother's side of the family. My grandmother got born again. He's gone on home to be with the Lord. My dad's young brother got born again. You know, some of my cousins on my mother's side of the family, you know, one of my aunts, extended aunts, got born again. And that's when I saw the power of restoration, the teachings that I had been sitting under, you know, the prayer, knowing that even when you're not praying, because there are days when I was not praying, months for KCM, but because I was a partner, prayer was going on for me day by day. And those are the prayers and the counseling that we receive when we call in that helped me and brought me to a place where I was able to slot in to what God has ordained for me before I was born. That through KCM, I've been taught and I'm learning day by day that as my life is changing, I'm beginning to grow and prosper in all areas of life, that I can take that gift to my fellow African brothers and sisters.
This week, we in the United States are celebrating our Thanksgiving holiday. Now, this began when the early settlers of this nation got together to thank God, and they had so much to be thankful for. He had saved them through starvation. He had sustained them through a hard winter, and when they came together, they celebrated all He had blessed them with, and they celebrated with this big harvest. And so Thanksgiving for us has become a time just to gather with family, get together with friends for one purpose, to say, "Thank you, Jesus," because we too have so much to be grateful for. And we have a special gift that we want to make available to you this week. This is a CD. It's a collection of 13 songs from the music ministry of Kenneth Copeland, and we're offering this to you in celebration of 50 years in ministry. And some of the songs you're going to enjoy on this: "What a Savior," "More About Jesus," "How Great Thou Art," "I Have Returned," that's my personal favorite, "Covenant Man." We have this CD in our car. Our kids love it. We listen to this. I love it. It reminds me so much of my childhood. You're going to love this too. So if you want this music, all you need to do is call us, visit our website, ask for your free copy. We'll send it to you as a gift. We'll even pay the postage. And then you can say, "I've got something to be thankful for." And every single one of us, Jesus has done something for all of us. And nobody can say they have nothing to be thankful for. We all have Jesus to be grateful for. And His goodness in our lives, never forget it. Don't ever forget how good God has been and will always be to you. He loves you, we love you, and never forget that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available free on DVD, CD, or MP3 and MP4 downloads. Call 800-600-7395 or go to kcm.org/TV special and request your free copy. Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith with this week's free TV offer. Order your copy today. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year.